720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, and excited to have on the line one of the most exciting personalities in sports, a 10 times X Game gold medalist, Supercross, Motocross champion, Rallycross, NASCAR, equal parts, I would say, motorsports superstar, Evel Knievel, and of course, the P.T. Barnum of the Nitro Circus, always bringing the fun with the fast for fans, the one and only Travis Pastrana. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks a lot. Heck of an intro. Appreciate you.
No, come on. You deserve it. I think this, though, and I know the fans are thinking it, with everything you do, everything you've done in all those different areas of motorsports, what keeps you always changing lanes on the action-packed career?
You know, I tell you what, it's waking up in the morning with a passion, loving what you do. And, you know, for me, I love motocross and supercross, but I was injured so much. And, you know, obviously the freestyle as well. But freestyle, you didn't have to be in as good a shape. So you could do freestyle with, you know, heck, I broke my collarbone 2 weeks before X Games, was still able to pin and plate it and get back out there because you only had to survive for, 2 minutes at a time. And, you know, with me, rally cars really worked out well because all-wheel drive, every time I was injured, I would jump in a go-kart or something with four wheels, and I could do that a little bit injured. So I made the transition with a lot of my sponsors to rally, which worked good because it's like motocross with a roll cage, a lot of jumps, a lot of sliding. Snow, dirt, pavement, whatever you want. Tried NASCAR for a little bit. Wasn't the best at the rear wheel drive and figuring out kind of the drafting and everything in the pavement side of it. But you know, I had a lot more experience the last couple of years in rallycross with my Subaru teammate Scott Speed, who came from F1, and even the Gymkhana stuff. Man, just sliding backwards at 130 mile an hour through back roads. It's learning a little bit of that downforce.
So the headlines these days, as you know, Travis, are a little bit about the Daytona 500. You know NASCAR, you mentioned it, is a little different these days, and it would be a lot more fun with you involved. So what's going on? Can you talk a little bit about it? It would be great to have you in on all that NASCAR action.
Oh, man, it would be absolutely amazing. I mean, before I can remember, I wanted to race the Daytona 500. It was kind of something that all my friends and family, we'd all gather around our buddy's house, and he had a little dirt track out front, and we'd play all day and then watch the 500 that afternoon. And, you know, I really wanted to get to that point in NASCAR, but I struggle learning the rear wheel drive, learning the pavement, just from the background that I had. I didn't really have the experience to get up to speed quick enough. Like I said, I've had more experience here as of late, and I'm looking at all this bucket list stuff, and you know, we had a really successful won the rally championship last year in the Nitro Rallycross, and even if you look at some of the guys that jumped over, Chase Elliott and last year's winner, the Daytona 500, Austin Cindric, came over to Nitro Rallycross and gave their hand at kind of riding the dirt stuff. But for me, I really wanted an opportunity to race the 500, and with the sponsors that I have and the seat time that I've been having, this is it's kind of now or never.
You know, sponsors, of course, more than any other professional sports drive racing. But with you, I think there's a trust level, right, that Travis will bring not only the potential for success and victory, but also a lot of eyeballs, right, and also a lot of fans. Talk a little bit about that. Is that no matter what it is, you say you wake up and you say, well, what do I want to do today? You've got that great support system right behind you.
I just have some amazing sponsors, and the guys at Black Rifle have really been supportive of everything. And, you know, we've had a lot of success in racing and a lot of success just with some fun one-off stuff like the Gymkhana series. But for me, this is even outside of the range that, you know, I could really get support from. So it's a lot of friends. It's a lot of sponsors that are friends with Dixon Flannels and maybe even Alpine Stars and getting in with Toyota and then the 2311 team to give me an opportunity. And, you know, it's going to be a fun experience, but I still got to qualify. We could have probably gone in and tried to buy a charter, but one of the biggest things, I didn't want to take a spot from an up and coming NASCAR driver, from anyone that deserves that. I still have to qualify in. So I didn't realize this at the time, but Jimmy Johnson, so there's only four spots open for the Daytona 500. So you have 37 chartered rides, and of the 9 or 10 or 12 people that are going to try to qualify, there's only four spots left. So Jimmy Johnson, a two-time Daytona 500 winner, as well as seven-time NASCAR champion, Julio Castroneves, four-time Indy 500 champ. That's just two of the nine that I'll be competing against for those four spots. But that's also why we went with the 2311 team, which is basically Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan. Yes. And they put together a team with Bubba Wallace to really just get out there. And because they're new, they're excited to have someone else that can hopefully, you know, work with the Toyotas and get near the front. So having another car for them is really big. It's really important. And, you know, with any luck, we'll come out, we'll qualify well, and we'll be, you know, kind of supporting the rest of the Toyotas to try to do the best we can. And man, I mean, you know, I just want to get in there. I want to be a part of the race. That's the goal. But, you know, it's a restrictor plate race, so anything can happen, and we're going to put our best foot forward to hopefully be in the final and to do the best we can.
You mentioned it. Anything can happen. And it is one of those great races, and the kind of thing, even Travis Pastrana, with everything that you have done, if you end up winning the Daytona 500, it will be built into each and every introduction that you ever have. And, you know, when you think about it, for those bucket list events, like, this is, it's possible, right? You have the talent, you have the instincts, you have the experience, you know, in those kind of cars. This isn't sort of out of left field. And you look at the Daytona 500 and the way it is, you mentioned restrictor plates, with all of those kind of big crashes and the way that those races just kind of change and evolve and really completely maybe flip-flop at the end of them. I mean, this could happen.
I mean, you never know. I know there's a lot of NASCAR fans laughing right now, but at the end of the day, you know, my first race in the Nationwide Series, which is, I guess, Xfinity now, you know, I qualified third for Daytona. And I was actually, if it wasn't for Kyle Larson on the last lap, throwing his car into the fence on the last straightaway and dodging that, you know, we had a top five going. I still got 10th. I was backwards at 180 miles an hour across the infield going across the line. But, you know, we've run well there. I qualified pole for Talladega before. So it's not as far outside of left field as most people think. You know, I definitely have a reputation for crashing, for being crazy, but you know, this is the only thing I've ever had on my bucket list that doesn't have the word win before it or after it. It's just, for me, got a great program with some great sponsors and hopefully a really good car. I believe I can qualify and I believe I can do well, but at the end of the day, it's just, for me, is to be a part of this amazing race. And shoot, I'll be signing autographs. I'll be up in the crowd. It's going to be an awesome week of just absolute fun for my whole family and all my friends. And, you know, we're bringing a lot of veterans in as well to kind of enjoy this as well. So it's going to be a good time.
Well, you talk about that, and as big as it is, it's so cool to hear you, a guy that has been in some of the biggest moments in motorsports and all that, just being excited about it. It's the Great American Race. And as great as it is, it will be an even greater event with you in it. And you mentioned certainly that crossover too. Elio Castroneves and Jimmy Johnson has been racing in IndyCar. Talk a little bit about this. I've covered motorsports for the last 20 years or so, and there is this appreciation factor that's always gone on. NASCAR drivers are super Supercross fans, and IndyCar drivers are NASCAR fans and all that. So on the driver's side and the rider side, it's always been there, but you're seeing more and more of the fans, whether it's the dirt track and all sort of that crossover, you're seeing more of the fans sort of appreciating the other kind of forms and disciplines of racing.
Well, at the beginning of the series, like I said, our series, which was the end of their series last year, you know, Chase Elliott, he came over, and Austin Cindric, who won the Daytona 500 last year. And man, we were so excited to have them in Nitro Rallycross. And the guys, neither one of them ended up qualifying, but we only take, you know, it's only 10 cars to the final for our series. But they did phenomenal, and they got to jump, you know, 100-foot gaps, and they were sliding all wheel drive, you know, 1200 horsepower cars through the corners. And we had so much fun. But it's interesting to hear, because when I transfer over to NASCAR, everyone's like, oh, clown, you know, just like, it's amazing the amount of backlash I've had. I'm like, shoot, they came over, I won that event, they didn't qualify. I'm like, oh, what if you don't qualify? That's going to suck. I'm like, yeah, it will. But man, I got to give it a go. And it's a bucket list. It's a dream come true. I've got the sponsorship in place. I was like, man, this is just about fun. It's about being a part of something that's awesome. And you know, when you got guys, like Alexander Rossi, Indy 500 champ, race the Baja 1000. You know, he hasn't done that well in it, but man, how cool is that? That an Indy champion is down there with Hinchcliffe and JR and all the guys there, Hildebrand, to have fun in a different sport. And if you look at Jimmy Johnson, he came from off road, and the drivers, man, have taken me so far under the wing. Even Denny Hamlin, my first race ever in Richmond in the Nationwide Series, he saw that I was struggling and slowed down and let me follow him for a couple of laps. We weren't on the same team. We weren't on any of the same sponsors. And that's a big reason why I wanted Denny to kind of guide me through this one. He's always taken the time to help me kind of get up to speed. And I think with him being a three-time Daytona 500 champion and you know, a part owner of this team, it definitely behooves him to have me do the best that I can. And man, I want to do the best we can out there.
You let the listeners know we're talking about the one and only Travis Pastrana. And you mentioned Denny Hamlin. You mentioned Michael Jordan a little bit earlier. And Michael Jordan getting in on NASCAR, of course, he has that race fan background, but he is a guy that transcended the NBA, transcended basketball. You have done that in a lot of ways in the motorsport side. And when you look at, and a lot of times success on the driving side in NASCAR is good fits with good equipment and ownership and drivers. And so when you knew, and you mentioned it's a great place to be, I think it sure is, was the fact that Michael Jordan was there, just their background and sort of that open-minded kind of perspective on racing. It's a perfect fit for you.
It is absolutely perfect. I mean, you know, Michael Jordan, I got to meet him down in Daytona back in 2003 when he sponsored Jason Pridmore and the Suzuki team for the street bike racing. Mm-hmm. Just a huge race enthusiast. And, you know, he wants to win. He's a competitive son of a gun. And it's a team that I think will give me the best opportunity because it's a young team, because the drivers are invested themselves in the team. And definitely people were like, well, you know, why wouldn't you go with, you know, with a Gibbs or with a Childress or something like that? And I said, because if I go to a Childress, I'll get whatever the next best car is. So if they have three drivers, I'll be the fourth best car. And that's fine. But I truly believe going to the 2311, you know, we got a Tyler Riddick and Bubba and myself. And they said, look, we got the same crew chief for all the cars. All the cars will be absolutely identical. Like, we're not going to test all the engines and see which one's faster and give him the better motor or them the better chassis. Like, we're going to absolutely go out and, you know, you might have the best, you might have the worst out of the crew, but we're going to give you the best opportunity to get out there and put your best foot forward. So this is a dream come true, and I believe this is the team to do it with.
There's only one Travis Pastrana, but you look at the fans, and we talked about that great relationship that you have with sponsors and with fans and all the new people that you're going to bring to NASCAR. NASCAR is reaching out. You got the Clash at the Coliseum happening in that football stadium out in Los Angeles. Chicago here, we're going to have that street race, first street course race for the Cup. NASCAR is going to happen here in Chicago this summer. Do you ever think about that? Like, what you being in this race, number one, and then also the potential of doing something with it, and then all those fans of everything else that you have done, whether it's the rally or the bikes or all that, that you'll be bringing to this sport.
You know, I'm just trying to go in and to not piss off the fans that are the diehard NASCAR fans. To be honest, I mean, at the end of the day, we've got an awesome fan group from all over. The drivers have all been, you know, welcoming with open arms, and, you know, definitely hope to not mess up. I think that's pretty much what Kurt Busch said. He was like, look, I can give you a lot of advice. And he goes, just don't get over your head.
Just don't screw it up.
No, I mean, basically, like, it was a long story to say, don't mess up and you'll make it in. I was like, all right, thanks, buddy.
Travis Pastrana, you know, all of that fame, all the success, you have earned that. And if you get into victory lane, it'll be amazing, and you'll have earned every bit of that at too. So as we let you go, you know, there's a lot of work coming up, but it'll be on you so fast. That Daytona 500 is going to be here coming up. Where can people go to keep up with all your adventures, whether it's social media or to get more information about everything as we get towards that great race?
Oh man, just Nitro Rallycross, rallycross.com or whatever. I don't even know, to be honest, but, yeah, we have a race in Canada, and then I represent the United States of America with Tanner Faust over in Sweden, for the Race of Champions, they call it, which will be really awesome. Actually, I got second there in 2006 with Jimmy Johnson. So hopefully we'll one up from that. And, then we got another Nitro Rallycross coming up in another round in Canada for a nice race, and then straight to the Daytona 500. So definitely keep track of all the races, and we'll see you soon.
Man, all right, he never stops. Travis Pastrana, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for being a part of this. And, of course, thanks for jumping on the show today.
Hey, thanks a lot. Talk to you soon, bud.
720 Alrighty. WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and excited to have on the line the driving force for racing for NASCAR on the most anticipated event on the Chicago sports calendar coming up for this summer. It is the NASCAR Chicago Street Race, and excited to have its president on, the one and only Julie Giese. Welcome back to WGN.
Thank you so much for having me.
We were talking a little bit off the air. It is the off season, right? The season is about to start with the Clash and all that. But, you know, with everything that's going on with Phoenix, with the championship, and of course transitioning to Chicago, Julie Giese doesn't get an off season.
It's so funny because in our sport, I feel like the off season is busier sometimes than the season. And I was talking to a few people yesterday where we're looking forward to the season getting started because then you're able to just really start executing a lot of things you've been working on. But it's been fun.
Yeah, and exciting too, because you know, a welcome back for the series and for fans back to the Clash at the Coliseum, which, you know, proof of concept. It was a hugely successful event, and now to execute in another way, and then leading in, of course, you know, to Daytona and all of that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, everybody just sort of hits their stride. But when it comes to Chicago, I mentioned it, and it wasn't an overstatement, the most anticipated event on the Chicago sports calendar. But even if you're not interested in sports or racing, you will not avoid it. It is happening on the street. So what's it like? I mean, pieces are coming into play here for the street race.
It really is. And it's been a really fun few months. Our team is fully relocated now to Chicago. We've got an office and a team that is fully dedicated on the Chicago street race. And I agree. I think not only is it probably the most anticipated sports event here in the city of Chicago, but I would argue across the country this year. And, you know, I think this is the first time that NASCAR is hosting in a NASCAR street race. We've never done it before, which is just so amazing to me. This is our 75th anniversary, and to be able to do that in Chicago has been, it's exciting. We're looking forward to it. Lots of planning, but a lot of really fun things that we are getting locked in, like some of the music that we announced earlier this week.
Y'all, it's a big thing. And you look at the way that NASCAR tries, as much as the exciting, you know, action on the track is great for all the fans and all that. But I think as in each market, each track, right, it takes on sort of the vibe of the community that it's in. And so obviously, you know, food, music is huge for Chicago, and you guys did not disappoint. We knew that Charlie Jones and the C3 group, of course, instrumental in so much of that success for Lollapalooza. We knew that they were in on things, but talk a little bit about the entertainment. It's big.
It really is. Earlier this week, we announced who that concert talent was going to be. We said that we wanted this to be a festival experience, which I think is really one of the great things about Chicago in the summertime is there's just so much to do outside and in the beautiful park. So we announced that on Saturday, July 1st, in conjunction with the NASCAR Xfinity Series race, that we will have the Black Crowes and the Chainsmokers headlining that event. Both of them will give full concerts that day. And then Sunday, just prior to the NASCAR Cup Series race, we have Charlie Crockett and Miranda Lambert, nice, who will both perform full sets.
So, and this is important too for the listeners, you know, oftentimes at different events and certainly races, you'll have headlining acts. They'll come in, but they only play like a few songs, right? They're just sort of getting the crowd pumped up. This is a real festival that has as much of a music side, as much as a race side. These are full concerts.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dane, and absolutely. This is full concerts, full sets, just like you would see when you go to any other music festival. We want this to be an all-encompassing event weekend with the races, the on-track action, the music, all the Chicago food that we're going to have weaved in throughout the park, and lots of other entertainment. I think there's an opportunity for us to educate people about NASCAR and our history. As I mentioned, this is our 75th anniversary, and I also think it really, one of the things I really want to make sure we do is just celebrate the history of racing in Illinois and in Chicago with the race that we had at Soldier Field. There was the very first street race in the country was held here. Obviously, you have Route 66. So a lot of really great history that we're going to weave into it as well.
Yeah, and you think about that, just like that history, that legacy that Chicago has, maybe a little under the radar for a lot of people, but it'll definitely be front and center when it comes to the street race. And you mentioned the food side of things. And also, too, is I think it's important to note that the word festival, so this isn't like race tickets. It is like a full festival. And what was that thought process in, too, is just to try to have it be just this big, big, big experience that has racing in it as well?
You talked earlier about the Busch Light Clash and how that was a proof of concept. And really, that was a starting point for us when we think about taking our sport to new markets. And that really helped us solidify as we were moving forward with a street race and what we wanted to do. And I think, you know, being outside in a park in downtown Chicago, it just lends itself to so much more than the race cars on track. Of course, that is the hallmark of the event weekend, those races, but you know, this is our opportunity to really reinvent and reimagine what that race experience looks like. And I think, you know, it leans into everything that you see in Chicago throughout the summer. There's just so much to do here. There's so many great festivals already. So I think it's a really great blend of the racing experience and really what Chicago does so well every year.
So many touch points on the entertainment side. And we go back to those statistics that for the Clash, it was 70% of the tickets were first time race fans. So for many, it's going to be an introduction to NASCAR and racing for the people that get to experience the street race and all the excitement around it. Is that part of that thought process? Is that you never get a second chance to make a first impression? NASCAR will do that in a big way for many this summer. Is that the thought?
Absolutely. That is incredibly important for us. We want to make sure that we put the best foot forward and deliver just the absolute best experience possible for everyone who attends the race. And I would say also to just the city of Chicago, its residents, businesses, organizations, we want to make sure that this weekend is a tremendous success for everybody. It's a great opportunity for NASCAR to introduce our sport to a whole new audience. But it's also a great opportunity for us to showcase Chicago to an international audience on the broadcast.
Yep. You think about that. We're going to talk about the tickets, which are going on sale February 2nd in just a second. I know that the fans are excited. Everybody's excited. The city's excited. I know the drivers are excited, too. This is a little bit different. Being a track president where you've been with tracks where drivers could get there, especially at a new race and maybe do a test or something like that. It's a little different here. We've had the iRacing, right, which we had talked a lot about over the last couple of years. How are drivers preparing? Is that something that they've brought to you on maybe the nuts and bolts side for the teams? Is like, how do we get ready for this?
Yeah, I think if you look at, you talk about the iRacing, the virtual race that we did a couple of years ago. I mean, I think that's a good starting point. And, you know, during the pandemic, that was something that our teams relied on heavily because we didn't have practice and qualifying. Like, you arrived at the racetrack and we're running a race. And so I think you'll see a lot of drivers continuing to prepare that way. You know, that, like you said, we're not going to be setting up a lot of practices. They'll have a little bit of practice on race weekend just prior to the race. But outside of that, everything that all the preparation will really have to be done, you know, virtually and just preparing away from the race car.
Yeah, and they'll all just be starting from square one. So that will be very cool. All right, the tickets are going to be available coming up soon. A different situation, right? It's not your normal speedway with seating charts and all that. And we've talked about the festival and all the other elements that are built into that experience. So talk about, there's a couple different kind of ticket levels that are in there and different experiences already.
Absolutely. So we already have tickets on sale for our premium experiences, which are your reserve seats and your hospitality. There's a wide range of options based on the type of view and the type of experience that you want to see. And then on February 2nd, we will have our general admission tickets go on sale. We will have a pre-sale for that January 31st and February 1st. If you're interested and want to get tickets, you can go online to NASCARChicago.com, actually sign up to receive notice about that pre-sale. So definitely do that. Otherwise, they will go on sale to the general public on February 2nd. And that GA pass really allows you to move around the park and see the race from a few different vantage points. And one note, too, we talked about all those concerts. Your ticket for the weekend includes the concerts and the races. It's a 2-day pass. Nice. So it is all inclusive with the concerts and the racing, which is important and different from what we've done in the past.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Cool to note, important to note as well. And for the fans too, you look at when there's a first event in a city, you look at Formula One in Miami, it sold out like in, you know, I don't know, 11 minutes or something like that. Right. So if you want to go to this, you should get in on it as soon as possible because, you know, it is the first time ever that this has happened. And I know people are going to be coming out of the woodwork, not just in the Chicagoland area, but I think race fans, have you heard that, Julie, where people from all mm-hmm. over the country that make trips, make those pilgrimage to different speedways, they're going to be in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. We are anticipating driving a lot of tourism to the city of Chicago, people coming from other markets to be here for the event, to experience the first time. Again, the fact that it is the very first street race in NASCAR history is pretty special by itself. And so we do expect to see a lot of people traveling in to be part of it.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. Making history right here in Chicago. Julie Giese making, writing some of that history that is going to be coming up. We're going to enjoy it. Again, we'll have links. Julie, we'll let you get back to the non-off season that you're enjoying. Excited for the start of NASCAR racing this season. Of course, we'll talk to you a number of times till we get to the streets.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Dane.
720 WGN. It is Dane in for Dean until 10:45 on a big sports weekend. We've talked a little bit of racing. We'll talk a little bit more, but also Championship Sunday is happening. And but before we get to that, right before we get to that, we just brought up all that action on the stage. We got a pair of tickets to Hansel and Gretel at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, a dark and whimsical operatic adventure based on the classic fairy tale with eye-popping sets. The acclaimed production's packed with musical gems that make it a wonderful introduction to opera for audiences young and old, sung in German with English translations, so you know you'll enjoy every word. On stage now through February 5th, tickets at lyricopera.com. And so we'll figure out a way. Stay tuned, and maybe before the break or something, we'll figure out a way to give those away. We've got a couple tickets. And when you think about, the NFL, oftentimes described as a whimsical operatic adventure based on the classic fairy tale, nobody tells that tale better than Mark Carman. Mark, your thoughts on a big day in the NFL? It's Championship Sunday.
One of the great transitions in the history of radio right there, Dane. Good morning.
Yeah, I don't know, but if you had a John Facenda in the NFL, he'd find some way to weave all that together. But here you have a rematch for a team that I have heard has been built to beat the Chiefs. Does it end differently today?
It's a great question. I don't have a strong feeling on Bengals Chiefs. I mean, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, people are talking about that matchup. And Burrow, of course, if you have been paying attention, everyone is telling everyone that Joe Burrow is 3-0 versus Patrick Mahomes. And we got the mayor of Cincinnati giving out weird statements and trying to, I don't know if you saw that. That's just straight bizarre. He was just basically saying that Joe Burrow was Mahomes' daddy, which I don't know if you need that from politicians, Dane. But hey, maybe I should lighten up. I suppose that was interesting, though. I think that I've had the Chiefs in the Super Bowl all season long. I think they get past Cincy today, but you really have to appreciate the Bengals. Nobody expected them to be in the Super Bowl last year. There they were, almost won the game, and here they are back in the AFC Championship game. And then the other side of it, it's the Chiefs had never played in an AFC Championship game at home. Now they played in five straight games because they've got a guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes who's put them there. It's pretty amazing.
Well, it's good to see politicians promoting family values, important of a father, right. Importance of a father figure. So you see that, and it reminds me of Rodney Dangerfield, because you look at these Bengals, they were in the Super Bowl last year, right? Yep. No one gave them a chance against the Bills, and then here, what it is, they really don't get any respect. I don't know if the mayor's helping with that, but what is it about the Bengals that no one takes them seriously?
I think it's a lot to do with history, right? I mean, Cincinnati has 10 playoff wins in the history of the franchise. Now, five of them have come with Joe Burrow at quarterback. But, I mean, look, Ja'Marr Chase is exactly, by the way, who the Bears are looking for, who the Bengals picked in the top five, and he should have a great opportunity to play big again today. He slashed them back in when they played in the regular season, which was another game the Bengals won. So, I like the Bengals roster. T. Higgins is another receiver that a lot of Bears fans are talking about who should have the ball in his hands a bunch today. Their offensive line isn't great, but Burrow is just good enough to get it done. I think we just have a history thing going on with Cincinnati, Dane. If I had to bottom line it,
well, you talk about no strong feelings, a city of strong brotherly feelings, right? Went from the fatherly to the brotherly out there in Philadelphia. I just got back from Philadelphia, and the locals were already talking about the city starting to grease up the light poles so they don't just destroy and burn down the city in celebration. Your thoughts there? Eagles are tough, been all year.
Yeah, I think Philly's the best team in football, Dana. They have been. They were on the way to being undefeated. They wound up 14-3 because Jalen Hurts got hurt.
like Schwani talked about, like boring Oregon, right? Was it just destined to happen?
It took me a second to figure out that Philadelphia was every bit as good as they are, but the Eagles have I mean, they're great. Their offensive line is great. Their defensive line is great. They have not let no stone unturned. Let's go get that guy, Robert Quinn from the Bears, even though he's done nothing over there. But let's add even further depth. They traded for their top wide receiver in A.J. Brown, and speaking of the Bears, that's another move that the Bears at some point will have to make. They weren't in the position to do it then, but he had nearly 1,500 yards this year, got in the end zone 11 times. So, and Hurts, you know, late second round pick, MVP conversation, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. Like, you wouldn't, I like to put best players there, Dane. Nobody would say that Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in football, but he's had a great season and they've won a ton of games.
Overcoming the opposition and the name, right? Which lends itself to injuries. And you look at this Eagles team as opposed to when I was out there a couple days ago, you know, that team, you know, was a giant killer, right? They went up against, you know, they had a backup quarterback and they went up against the Patriots. This is a team, like you said, best team in football, you know, could have been undefeated. Like, this is the strongest Eagles team in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, and they also have that Super Bowl with our guy Nick Foles running it. So this is, you know, pretty impressive for a franchise that, you know, has a reputation of not winning, and now it could be a second Super Bowl in 5 years for them.
It was a rough crowd. I was there at the Sixers game against Brooklyn, and even the 8-year-olds were like, you know, F-bombing the refs and the other players. So it's a tough place to, even when you win, you know, they're gonna be upset.
the Philly fans, they've earned their reputation, right? I've only been to one game in Philadelphia. It was way back in the day, and that was a good Bulls team beating a not as good Sixers team. Although they did have Barkley, and I mean that was a competitive Sixers team. But I've never experienced the Eagles fans or Philly fans like I think you just did, Dane.
It's pretty great, right? Unless of course you're dressed in a Santa suit. You don't want to do that. Right. All right, thanks, Mark. We'll be excited to see it.
Yeah, it should be fun today. Thanks.
All right.